When Jude Law named this book as his favorite read in a 2004 interview, it sparked a wave of curiosity about what had captivated the Hollywood star. Sperm Wars quickly became a cultural phenomenon, translated into 20 languages and sparking heated debates on talk shows worldwide. What makes this book so compelling is its unflinching examination of human sexuality through an evolutionary lens. Unlike typical relationship advice books, it reveals the hidden biological battles occurring within our bodies during every sexual encounter. This revolutionary perspective transformed how millions understand their own sexual behaviors, desires, and reproductive choices. As we navigate an era of changing sexual norms and reproductive technologies, the insights from this groundbreaking work continue to illuminate the ancient evolutionary forces still driving our most intimate moments. Every human alive today is the result of an unbroken chain of reproductive success stretching back to the dawn of life. When you look at old family photographs, you're witnessing the winners of countless reproductive competitions. Consider how many of your great-grandparents' siblings left no descendants, their genetic lines ending abruptly while others flourished. This isn't random chance, it's the result of sophisticated evolutionary strategies playing out across generations. In Victorian England, for instance, only about 80% of people who reached adulthood went on to have children, and of those, some lineages thrived while others gradually disappeared. The most successful reproducers aren't necessarily those who have the most children, but those whose descendants continue to reproduce effectively. A woman who has 10 children might seem reproductively successful, but if those children struggle to survive or reproduce themselves, her genetic legacy could be outpaced by someone who had fewer, more successful offspring. Historical records from pre-industrial Europe show that families who spaced their children further apart, allowing more resources per child, often had more grandchildren surviving to adulthood than those who had children in rapid succession. Evolution favors strategies that maximize grandchildren and great-grandchildren, not just immediate offspring. Human reproduction involves complex trade-offs and strategic decisions that go far beyond simple biology. For women, the optimal strategy isn't simply having as many children as possible. The challenges of carrying, birthing, and raising children, particularly for bipedal humans who can't easily carry multiple young, create selective pressure for quality over quantity. The 9-month gestation period, followed by years of intensive childcare, represents a massive investment of time and resources. For men, the biological investment is smaller per child, creating different optimal strategies that historically included the possibility of multiple partnerships. These different reproductive interests create an evolutionary arms race between the sexes, manifesting in numerous physical and behavioral adaptations. Men benefit from multiple partners with minimal investment, while women benefit from securing both good genes and reliable support. This fundamental conflict of interest shapes our sexual behaviors, emotions, and social structures in ways we rarely consciously recognize. For example, studies show that women's preferences for male characteristics often shift during their menstrual cycle, potentially reflecting an evolutionary strategy to secure both good genes and good partners. Even routine sex between committed partners reflects these ancient evolutionary battles. When a couple has intercourse, they're engaging in behaviors shaped by millions of years of selection for reproductive success. The frequency of sex, the timing relative to ovulation, and the physiological responses of both partners all reflect sophisticated biological programming designed to maximize reproductive outcomes in an uncertain world. For instance, research has shown that women's cervical mucus changes throughout their cycle to either facilitate or inhibit sperm transport, while male ejaculate contains compounds that influence female physiology and behavior, evidence of the ongoing evolutionary chess game between the sexes. Modern contraception and social structures have changed the playing field, but these ancient reproductive strategies still influence our behavior and relationships in subtle ways. From mate selection to parenting styles, we continue to act out evolutionary programs written over millions of years of human evolution, even as we consciously choose different reproductive paths than our ancestors. The most surprising revelation about human reproduction is that we're adapted for sperm warfare. When a woman's reproductive tract contains sperm from multiple men, these sperm actively compete for fertilization opportunities. This isn't just passive competition, it's an actual battle with specialized roles and tactics. Only about 1% of sperm are egg getters, designed to fertilize eggs. The rest serve other functions. Blockers form barriers in cervical mucus to prevent rival sperm from advancing, while killers actively seek out and destroy rival sperm. This specialized workforce explains why men produce hundreds of millions of sperm when only one is needed for fertilization. They're creating an army, not just a single fertilizer. The woman's reproductive tract isn't a passive battlefield either. It actively regulates this competition through sophisticated mechanisms. The cervical mucus serves as a two-way filter with narrow channels that change throughout her cycle. During fertile periods, these channels become more penetrable. During infertile times, they become more restrictive. After intercourse, the cervix extends downward like an elephant's trunk, dipping into the pool of semen to collect sperm. About half the sperm are eventually ejected in the flowback that occurs roughly 30 minutes after sex. Others travel directly to the oviducts, enter cervical crypts to form reservoirs, or remain in the mucus until consumed by white blood cells. This filtering process isn't random. A woman's body controls how many sperm to retain and how many to eject, a critical reproductive mechanism. The male body precisely calibrates sperm production based on time since last ejaculation. After a week's abstinence, a man produces about 400 million sperm. After just 3 hours, only about 30 million. This remarkable adaptation ensures optimal sperm delivery regardless of intercourse frequency. When sperm from different men compete, the outcome depends on timing, sperm quality, and the woman's physiological responses. If a woman has sex with two men within a few days, their sperm will directly compete within her reproductive tract. The winner of this unseen battle determines paternity, often without any of the participants realizing a competition has occurred. Women possess remarkable control over reproductive outcomes through physiological mechanisms that few fully understand. The female orgasm, far from being simply a pleasure mechanism, serves as a sophisticated tool for reproductive selection. When a woman doesn't experience orgasm during intercourse, her pre-established cervical filter remains intact, allowing her body to control sperm retention according to her reproductive interests. By contrast, orgasm during intercourse dramatically weakens this filter, allowing 50-90% of sperm retention compared to just 0-50% without orgasm. This happens through several mechanisms: cervical gaping, dipping movements in the seminal pool, pressure changes that suck semen further into cervical mucus, and emptying cervical crypts of old sperm to make room for new ones. A woman's subjective experience of orgasm is just the beginning of cervical activity that continues for minutes afterward. Remarkably, a woman can bypass her cervical filter for up to an hour after ejaculation, even if the penis is no longer present. Whether through partner stimulation or masturbation, an orgasm during this window allows sperm to bypass the filter as long as the seminal pool remains in place. Women also use masturbation and nocturnal orgasms to influence reproductive outcomes. These activities strengthen the cervical filter in three key ways: increasing cervical mucus flow to lubricate and cleanse the vagina, increasing mucus acidity to inhibit sperm and bacteria, and triggering cervical crypts to void their stored sperm, which then block new mucus channels. Research shows British women average just under one nocturnal or masturbatory orgasm weekly during periods of fidelity, but this increases to every other day during infidelity. These orgasms occur most frequently when women anticipate their next intercourse will be with their partner rather than their lover. Women are also more likely to climax during intercourse with a lover, 33% of occasions, than with their partner, 22%. This creates a significant advantage for lovers. When faithful, women help their partners place large sperm armies inside them 55% of the time, but during infidelity, this drops to 38%, while they help lovers 65% of the time. Most impressively, women maintain this bias without betraying signs of infidelity. They keep their intercourse orgasm rate with partners consistent, whether faithful or not. Their increased masturbation and nocturnal orgasms remain secret, and their tendency to have fewer preparatory orgasms before sex with lovers cannot be detected by partners. About 10% of children aren't fathered by the men who believe they are their fathers, with rates ranging from 1% in high-status areas to 30% among lower-status males. This isn't random chance. It reflects sophisticated female mate selection strategies operating below the level of conscious awareness. Women typically show a pattern in their infidelity. The second child is most likely to be the partner's, while first and last children are more likely from other men. This makes evolutionary sense. The first child tests the partner's parenting commitment, the middle child secures the relationship, and the last child potentially introduces genetic diversity when the woman's reproductive window is closing. When women engage in infidelity, they're often unconsciously seeking genetic benefits for their offspring. A stable partner might provide excellent resources and care, but lacks certain genetic qualities that would benefit children. Through strategic infidelity, women can secure both reliable support and advantageous genes, essentially getting the best of both worlds for their offspring. Xenophilia, a preference for strangers, strongly influences female mate choice across primates. Like female red monkeys who mate with new males while avoiding familiar ones, human females often favor genetic novelty. This preference serves an evolutionary purpose. If the stranger eventually gains social power, he may protect offspring that might be his. Women select men based on wealth, status, and genetic quality, while men select women primarily for health and fertility indicators like waist-to-hip ratio, ideally 70%, clear skin, and facial symmetry. Men of all ages prefer women around 20, while women prefer older, established men who can provide resources. The biological bias towards sons in high-status couples, 115 boys per 100 girls, reflects reproductive strategy. Successful sons can potentially produce more grandchildren than daughters, though daughters are the safer reproductive option for lower-status couples. Even forgotten contraceptive pills can reflect subconscious mate selection. A woman's body might decide against having another child with her partner if she subconsciously views him as less robust genetically. By forgetting pills and having unprotected sex with other men during her fertile period, she creates a sperm war that increases her chances of conception with potentially superior genes. Sexual technique doesn't come naturally to human males, just as it doesn't for other mammals. While basic functions like arousal and ejaculation are automatic biological responses, the nuanced aspects of courtship, foreplay, stimulation, and effective copulation must be learned through experience. Males who don't gain practical experience during adolescence often miss crucial opportunities for successful insemination and developing essential intimate skills. Women's bodies have evolved with intricate complexity. The clitoris, the primary organ of female sexual pleasure, is notably small, often difficult to locate precisely, and anatomically positioned away from direct penile contact during traditional intercourse. This deliberate anatomical arrangement creates a sophisticated challenge that serves as a natural screening mechanism for potential mates. The variability in female sexual response patterns adds another layer of complexity, requiring partners to develop personalized understanding rather than relying on universal approaches. When evaluating long-term partners, women unconsciously assess sexual competence alongside other criteria like resources and genetic quality. This evaluation encompasses multiple factors: physical technique, emotional attunement, communication skills, and adaptability to feedback. a man's sexual prowess becomes a proxy for his overall fitness as a mate and potential father. Despite appearing to cede control during intimate encounters, women maintain fundamental autonomy over their sexual response. The female orgasm cannot be coerced. It requires genuine arousal and comfort. Skilled lovers facilitate rather than force pleasure, creating conditions where orgasm becomes a natural response rather than a demanded outcome. Less competent partners often leave women relying primarily on self-stimulation or nocturnal arousal for sexual satisfaction. Women's preference for sexually skilled men extends beyond immediate gratification to evolutionary strategy. A man's sexual competence signals previous female approval, suggesting he possesses traits deemed attractive by other women, a form of social proof in mate selection. This preference creates an evolutionary feedback loop where sexually successful men are more likely to produce sons who inherit both the physical attributes and learning capacity for sexual competence. Early sexual experimentation correlates strongly with lifetime partner count. Research indicates boys who engage in age-appropriate sexual play before puberty typically develop greater sexual confidence and partner success in adulthood. However, initial inexperience doesn't permanently disadvantage men. Women often invest in teaching promising partners, simultaneously evaluating their capacity to learn and adapt sexually, traits that could benefit future offspring. The phenomenon of rough sexual play serves multiple evolutionary functions, testing male strength, assessing sexual competence, and evaluating consent boundaries. While typically consensual, this testing behavior occasionally crosses into assault when communication fails. Studies reveal that women are significantly more likely to maintain relationships with men whose forceful sexual attempts succeeded versus those who failed, suggesting an unconscious evaluation of physical capability and sexual competence. This complex dynamic reflects the different reproductive stakes faced by each gender, while highlighting the importance of clear consent boundaries in modern sexual interactions. Bisexuality offers surprising reproductive advantages for both men and women, with evolutionary implications that extend beyond simple mate selection. For men, these advantages include remarkably early sexual competence, with studies showing 80% of men with homosexual behavior becoming sexually active by age 15, nearly 3 years earlier than exclusively heterosexual males. This early experience provides valuable interpersonal skills, including enhanced emotional intelligence, adaptability in relationships that transfers effectively to female partnerships. Male bisexuals demonstrate notably higher partner counts across both genders. Research indicates that nearly a quarter have over 10 male partners in their lifetime, while simultaneously maintaining multiple female relationships. This pattern of increased sexual activity correlates with higher reproductive opportunities. Bisexual men often father children with multiple women, spreading their genes more widely than their exclusively heterosexual counterparts. The skills developed in managing multiple same-sex relationships, including discretion and emotional compartmentalization, transfer directly to managing concurrent heterosexual relationships. Female bisexuality, while occurring at lower rates, 2-3% versus 6% for males in industrial societies, shows distinct patterns that suggest evolutionary advantages. Studies reveal that most women who engage in homosexual behavior maintain attraction to both sexes, with exclusive homosexuality remaining rare at less than 1% throughout life. This flexibility in sexual orientation appears to offer social and reproductive benefits, including stronger female bonding and enhanced sexual competence. The sexual activities common in lesbian encounters, including manual genital stimulation, breast touching, nipple stimulation, oral sex, and genital rubbing, serve as sophisticated practice for heterosexual encounters. Research demonstrates that women experience orgasms twice as frequently with female partners compared to male partners, developing crucial control over their sexual responses. This increased orgasmic capacity potentially influences mate selection and reproductive success in heterosexual encounters. A fascinating biological connection emerges in the timing of lesbian sexual activity, which peaks during women's fertile phase, mirroring similar patterns in female cows, rats, and guinea pigs. This synchronization appears to be hormonally regulated rather than conscious, evidenced by the fact that lesbians taking oral contraceptives lose their mid-cycle orgasm peak. This biological timing suggests deep evolutionary roots for same-sex behavior. The stability of bisexuality rates, approximately 6% for men and 2-3% for women in industrial societies, reflects an evolutionary equilibrium where the reproductive success of bisexuals matches that of heterosexuals. Historical and anthropological evidence reveals that in smaller, isolated communities with lower disease prevalence, bisexuality was more common and socially accepted. In fact, 60% of documented human societies have historically viewed bisexuality as normal and socially acceptable behavior. Prostitution emerges as another alternative reproductive strategy, despite the apparent reproductive disadvantages of multiple partners. While conception chances are reduced due to intense sperm competition, successful reproduction in this context selects for highly competitive sperm characteristics. Historical data underscores the prevalence of this strategy. Studies show 69% of American men in the 1940s had used prostitution services at least once, while more recent surveys indicate 10% of British men aged 45 to 59 in the 1990s had similar experiences. This persistent behavior pattern suggests ongoing evolutionary significance despite social stigma. Men demonstrate remarkable consistency in basic sexual functions compared to women. Virtually all men ejaculate, masturbate, and experience nocturnal emissions. However, significant variation exists in male reproductive strategies, primarily driven by differences in testis size and the corresponding physiological capabilities this enables. Men with larger testis typically produce substantially more sperm, often 2-3 times the volume of those with smaller testes. This increased production capacity manifests in more frequent ejaculation, shorter refractory periods between sexual encounters, and distinct behavioral patterns. These men tend to spend less time with individual partners, show higher rates of infidelity, studies indicate up to 2-3 times more likely, and generally pursue multiple sexual relationships simultaneously. Their reproductive strategy specializes in sperm competition, where their larger armies of sperm cells provide a significant advantage in scenarios involving multiple male partners. Conversely, men with smaller testes typically adopt a different reproductive approach. They invest more heavily in mate-guarding behaviors, demonstrate higher fidelity rates, and focus on maintaining stable, long-term partnerships. This strategy effectively avoids direct sperm competition scenarios where they would be at a physiological disadvantage. Most men fall somewhere between these extremes on the reproductive strategy spectrum, exhibiting mixed traits and adaptable behaviors. While sperm warfare specialists often have larger penises, which can aid in displacing rival seminal fluid through a plunger effect, penis size shows less consistent correlation with reproductive strategy than testis size. The advantage of larger penis size primarily manifests in scenarios of rapid mate succession, whereas testis size impacts sperm warfare capability continuously through sperm production volume and rate. Within normal functional parameters, roughly 4-7 inches, smaller penises prove equally effective for routine reproduction. They successfully deliver sperm to the cervix, don't significantly impact female orgasm probability. Studies show only 25% of women regularly achieve orgasm through penetration alone, regardless of size, and may offer advantages in sustained sexual activity with the same partner due to reduced friction and tissue stress. Testis size varies significantly across populations and racial groups, with documented averages showing a consistent pattern. Individuals of African descent typically have larger testis than those of European descent, who in turn have larger testis than those of Asian descent. These differences likely reflect historically different balances in sexual selection pressures and reproductive strategies. This pattern extends beyond humans. Across primate species, testis size strongly correlates with sperm competition risk. Chimpanzees, with their promiscuous mating system, have proportionally larger testes than monogamous gibbons, while humans fall intermediate in both mating system complexity and relative testis size. From an evolutionary perspective, both larger and smaller testis strategies prove viable. Their relative frequencies in populations tend to stabilize at levels where reproductive success equalizes. Some men achieve reproductive success through faithful partnerships and intensive parental investment, while others succeed through multiple partnerships and competitive sperm production. This diversity in male reproductive strategies contributes to the overall genetic variation and resilience of human populations. Modern social changes are reshaping reproductive strategies without eliminating their evolutionary foundations. With child support agencies and genetic fingerprinting, men can no longer easily deny paternity, potentially giving women greater freedom to have children with multiple partners for both genetic diversity and financial support. These changes may create even stronger reproductive advantages for wealthy men who can afford to support multiple families. Yet, some things remain constant. Our biological programming to maximize grandchildren persists regardless of social constraints. Nothing short of physical intervention can remove a man's subconscious drive to father children with multiple women, or a woman's drive to collect the best genes and support for her offspring. China's one-child policy demonstrates how reproductive strategies adapt to social pressures. While successfully reducing family size to 1.6 children per woman, it has also skewed the gender ratio to 1.6 boys per girl through selective abortion and infanticide. This biological response makes evolutionary sense. When reproduction is constrained, having sons becomes the optimal strategy for maximizing grandchildren, as successful males can still father many children despite the restrictions. Women display incredible variation in their sexual characteristics. 2-4% never orgasm, while 5% have multiple orgasms. 10% never climax during intercourse, while another 10% nearly always do. Some prefer passivity, while others prefer activity. 50% masturbate regularly, while 20% never do. And 40% experience nocturnal orgasms. This diversity in orgasm patterns combines with differences in bodily sensitivity to create an extraordinary range of female sexuality. This variation isn't random, but serves reproductive purposes. It confuses men, tests their sexual competence, gives women more control during new encounters, and allows women to educate partners without facilitating infidelity. Whatever scientific and social developments arise, sperm warfare and its associated behaviors will continue to shape human sexuality for generations to come. Our sexual strategies may adapt to new environments, but the underlying biological imperatives remain unchanged. The most successful reproducers will continue to be those who, consciously or unconsciously, navigate these complex evolutionary dynamics most effectively.